Mic check, we're ready to go. Happy week, everybody. In Spanish, we say Feliz Semana. As you've ushered in the Sabbath, and now you ushered out the Sabbath, the week begins anew. We say Feliz Semana, happy week. Not only are we happy to be alive, but we are able to enter into another week. After enjoying this day of rest, this day of salvation, brothers and sisters, can't believe that we have come to the close of this series already. Time has flown by. For some of us, it felt just like a day because it's your first day here. And then for some of us, 7 days went by quickly, and we know that the Lord is truly great, is truly marvelous, because we've left here night after night feeling blessed. How about it, James? Are you excited for this series to continue one more week? Are you excited for this series to continue one more week? Praise the Lord. It was a pleasure allowing the Holy Spirit to bless. The Holy Spirit blessed me every night I came here, night after night. You know, a minister wants to leave with a blessing as well. And many times, it's just the mere interaction with folks, God's children. The Bible says no one is righteous. All has fallen short of the glory of God. And the mere fact that we have the opportunity to come into contact with one another. Yes, our opinions vary. Our beliefs may vary. But you know what? Jesus is unchangeable. And if there's a commonality that you and I can share, and we can talk about Jesus, then we could keep on talking. This evening, I want to end this series on a lighter note, more reflective note, contemplative note. Call it a benediction, if you may. For those that miss, we focused on the covenant, what it is to be in a relationship, a binding pact, contract agreement with Christ. That Christ wants you and I to commit to Him. In doing so, He has sent His promise from the Father of the Holy Spirit to give us the intentionality, to make it intentional upon ourselves to want to seek out Jesus Christ. It is only by the power of the Holy Spirit we're here, right, my sister? Every night this week, I don't know about you, my dear sister, didn't you have a responsible, legitimate excuse not to come? See, Satan is like that. He will always find a reason for you not to be in the house of the Lord. And some of them are responsible and reasonable. But guess what? Nothing should stand in the way of you and the Father. And sometimes we are our greatest enemies. We fight day in and day out. And God just wants us to make a commitment. That's all we talked about. We brought to life this covenant in the Word of God. Every time you open the Bible, brothers and sisters, you're going to see a covenant. What is a covenant? It's just an agreement that God made with you and me. He's fulfilled it generations before, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And he's going to fulfill it perpetually generations after you. Because he said that through you, through your lineage, he wants prosperity, posterity. Oh, brothers and sisters, he wants to build you up, because in building you up, he enlarges his kingdom. That's it. That's it. We'd love to thank the Joy of Troy Seventh-day Adventist Church for the invitation of having me here, particularly Pastor Gomez, Pastor Langley, and also the leaders and elders of this church. Thank you for allowing me to administer to this flock. Visitors, friends, thank you for putting up with me. But tonight is the last night. What do you say? So if I go to 9 o'clock, we're good, right? Because I don't need you to come back out tomorrow. Oh, but we will stay faithful until the end. 8 o'clock, we'll be out of here. But before we continue, I'd like to say thank you to especially the visitors for coming out night after night and allowing the Lord to speak to your heart. Members, for recommitting yourselves to Jesus Christ, because you too are in the same position like the visitors, whether you're a member of this church or not, we have to make a daily commitment. So I say thank you. And it is my desire that the Lord will bless you not only tonight, but every day he gives you life. Let us bow our heads as we pray once more. Heavenly Father, your name is worthy to be praised. Without further ado, dear God, tonight once more, I want to take the liberty to introduce the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who is the helper, and you've promised he would help us, and guess what, God, we need that help. We need the help to listen, the help to be receptive, you know, to allow this transformation process to actually occur. Rebuke Satan who may try to devour, distract, confuse, but we know that this is your place and you run this house. So tonight we ask that you do it one more time. Speak through me. Let these words of my mouth be a meditation of my heart and acceptable in your sight. And on the way down, touch me too. Do it again in Jesus' name. Amen. Sermon entitled this evening is called The Benediction. The Benediction. We know now after this week the variations of covenants, also able to distinguish the differentiation between an old covenant and a new covenant. How many of you know what an old covenant is? It's an old covenant made between the generations from the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, even with Moses, the Edenic covenant. All of these covenants are old covenants. But what is the new covenant? Did we gather what was a new covenant this morning? The new covenant was established through the blood of Jesus Christ when God sent his son to die for you and me. And now you and I don't have to light up altars. We can just get on our knees and pray and ask God to forgive us of our sins. No, that does not entail premeditated sin or planned confession. But that requires an earnest desire to serve God. Yes, that means in the process we will make mistakes, but we must do our best to keep this commitment with Jesus Christ, because he wants to have a relationship with you and me. Brothers and sisters, it's because of this new covenant, this time I want to end this series looking at a benediction. Benediction was a farewell given to the people after missionaries or the disciples passed through the town, or the patriarchs and prophets when they would lead the nation. Whether or not, brothers and sisters, you want to deem it as a benediction, it was a farewell to the people. But you see, brothers and sisters, those that were in the Lord would send you off in good peace and faith. You know, when I come in contact with people, I love people that love to pray. I love to pray for myself, but I love people in life to pray for me. It's a farewell. It's the best farewell that you can give. You can throw me a party. Wonderful. Even in here this evening, order the pizza, Pastor. Let's have some Coca-Cola and some ginger ale too. But guess what? That farewell is great, but the best farewell that God wants to give you is one that requires a blessing, a prayer, an anointment. This week, we understood that you cannot fulfill your appointment without the anointment. And so this evening, once more, I want to remind you the power of a benediction. In the Old Covenant was established with God's people, the people of Israel. They call it the, and I've never been able to say this, but they call it the Aaronic benediction. Turn with me to Numbers chapter 6. You know this benediction. You've heard it. Numbers chapter 6. Numbers chapter 6, when you found it, say amen. I need all of you to be with me. Stay awake. We're almost there. 10 minutes, folks. No, Numbers chapter 6 from verse 22. When you found it, say amen. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, on this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, what is it? The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Oh, brothers and sisters, that is a wonderful covenant, a wonderful farewell, benediction to encourage the people that God was with them and he would bless them. But you have to understand in this book, in this chapter, this covenant, right, was for the people of Israel. So it means that this benediction, this blessing was only for the children of Israel. Stay with me now. You see, brothers and sisters, many times when we walk into a church, we try to distinguish our identity, try to find some comfort or some commonality in the church. Why? Because we're always trying to size up one another. Well, which one is righteous and who's more religious and who's the greatest leader and who has the more gifts and who has the best blessing. But brothers and sisters, when you walk through that door, you don't have to worry about none of that. You don't have to worry about when you come to church, or if you know the 27 fundamental doctrines, or you can recite scripture. No, brothers and sisters, the old covenant, in order to distinguish yourself worthy of leadership or entitlement in a church or sanctuary, you had to go to the school of Rama, study the manuscripts and all of those sorts. But it's amazing, brothers and sisters, how that has changed. No, you do not have to be born an Adventist to teach God's word. You do not have to be the child of the deacon or the elder, or you have to have what we call generational Christians. Just because the descendants before you probably made mistakes, didn't take time to come to church or train up a child in the way she should go or teach you about reproof and righteousness, that does not mean, and I'm talking to those who have not committed to Jesus Christ, I'm talking to those that need to make a covenant. Brothers and sisters, this covenant is not just for those who deem themselves highly religious. God has said in his new covenant, I have not come to call the righteous to repentance, but the sinners. So what is God looking for? He's looking for people who know that they're messed up. He's looking for people who know that they're not fixed. He's looking for people who know that without God, he's broken. And God does not say to you and me that in order to serve him or in order to accept him as Lord and Savior, you have to be fixed. That old covenant, that blessing that was only for God's chosen people, is not the benediction he has for you and me. Turn with me to the book of Galatians. Quickly, we're almost out of here. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. We see here that Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the what? The law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That is, if you take a look at Romans chapter 8, quickly, Romans chapter 8, keep your hand on Galatians, but go over to Romans chapter 8, verse 3, because I want you to understand that it is said that he is cursed that hanging on a tree. I want to clarify that, because you see, what you have to understand here in verse 3 of chapter 8 in Romans, it says, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. He couldn't get it done through the law. By nature, we are disobedient. It is only because of the new covenant, you have the power of the Holy Spirit to even want to try. So then you go over to 14 in Galatians chapter 3, where it says that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through the faith. You know what the Bible says about Jews and Gentiles. They never mixed. That means that if you weren't of the children or from the nation of Israel, you were considered an outcast. You were looked down upon. Think about this, brothers and sisters. Through the children of Israel, through these perpetual generations, they had kingdoms established, wars won and fought, nations created. You understand what I'm showing you? They were able to build a greater rapport where, yes, they separated themselves from the world. Yeah, but it was supposed to separate themselves from the world for God. Along the way, you saw those Israelites. They always got confused and mixed up. They were too focused on the law instead of that inward transformation. They were too focused on making the pastor happy or trying to prove to him or the priest that I am worthy enough of forgiveness, instead of going to Jesus Christ the Father and asking him for grace. You see, this is what's so sweet about Galatians chapter 3, because what it's telling you and I, the same promise he made to the Jews, now he makes to the Gentiles. He is saying that none of us are segregated to be better than the other, worthy than the other, more love than the other. No matter what your background is, you can't choose where you were born. You can't choose your parents. Some of us, our upbringing is based on our environment and our product. That was not your fault. God put you in that position for a reason. But he's saying, guess what? I still have a plan for you. We can't make excuses and say, oh, well, you know, this Christian thing, it's not really me. I wasn't raised in the church. No. God ain't looking for those that were raised in the church. He's looking for those who don't know his name, which means he's looking for you. He knows where to find me, but he's been searching for you all the days of your life. That's why I love the parable of the lost sheep. That lost sheep implies to the Gentile, and the 99 are the Jews. The Jews in the gate want to say, oh, we got enough. We don't need no one more Gentile. Oh, we don't need this person to come to this church. They don't fit our standards. Oh, we don't need this person in the gate. Oh, what is one? But the God, one is everything. And so what if the one don't match the 99? Guess what? Jew and Gentile alike, that new covenant is going to cover all of us. So a special benediction is not only for those who feel as if they're worthy enough or pious enough or played a part. God has a farewell and a blessing for everybody in this house right now. No matter what mistakes you've made, no matter what decisions you've made, no matter how you've been disobedient to God or if you've ignored His call upon your heart, guess what? That doesn't make you a bad person. That doesn't make you a criminal. You have some folks, brothers and sisters, who come to church out of routine. Their bodies are here, but their minds aren't. Someone said to me before, if you're going to be good, then be good. But if you're going to be bad, then be bad. You can't play both sides. Bible talks about it in Revelation when it talks about lukewarmness. Hot or cold, right? Brothers and sisters, the thing is, the Bible says no one is righteous. So the farewell and the benediction that's in Numbers, yes, the Aaronic benediction is wonderful. But I prefer to take that benediction where God says, peace be to all of you, Gentiles and Jews alike. Oh, yeah. Gentiles and Jews alike. Yeah. God wants to give farewell to all of those. The outward standard is not what God is looking at. He's looking at the inward man. He's looking at those that want to make a decision to serve Him. And some of us who are still going to and fro, making a real decision for Christ. So, tonight, my question is to you, have you decided? Have you decided to receive the blessings of the Father that He has promised to all His people, Jews and Gentiles alike, because of the covenant He made with us? Are we prepared? For some of you, this benediction is just out there. You had to be here this week. But for those that are here, to sum it up, God wants to bless you. God wants to put an anointing on His people. God wants to use you. God, you know what's so amazing? In the content, in the benediction, it uses a word, continence. Continence, right, reflects to a physical characteristic, which is demeanor, facial contours, meaning that basically when I come into contact with you, I should be able to know that you are a person of the Lord. Continence has everything to do with the image of God, which was our first sermon in the series. So God is saying, remember once more, let my countenance shine upon your faces. Shadow my image. In the benediction, in the farewell, He's reminding you and I of His covenant, of His promises, and of His blessings. He's got it for us. Oh, brothers and sisters, I want to encourage all of you. Open up the Word of God. Open up the Word of God. The only way to bear that continence and to receive that blessing is in that word. In that word. Every time I open up my Bible, I find something new. I surprise myself sometimes. Praise the Lord. You can read the same chapter and the same verse over and over again and find something new. You're going to find something new. I'm saying dive in, grow in Christ. Allow transformation to be natural. Commit. Commitment doesn't go based on our feelings. Because some of us, if it were up to us, after 2 years of leasing that car, we would change it. But you commit to 3. You commit to everything else. You commit to mortgages. You commit to car leases, finances, school, kids' education. Oh boy, some of us, boy, if education was free. But you got to commit. You know it's going to pay off. You can't afford it. You can't afford to put your kid through school, but you still want to give them the best education. So why are you cutting yourself short of the best education? Don't make no sense. We've got to commit.
It's amazing though. Typically, we only commit to something when it has already taken something from us. For example, if someone took $1,000 from me, whether I don't like it or not, I'm going to commit to it. I'm going to get my money's worth. Right? A lot of us are trying to get our money's worth from God. Right? We want a treasure here on earth. Right? That's wonderful. But your definition of a treasure is not the treasure God wants to give you. Are you with me? The treasure he wants to give you is the only thing you can take from this earth. So commit to a car. It's going to burn up in the fire. Before it burns up in the fire, it's probably going to die of its transmission. It's temporal. Everything that we commit to is temporal. But God wants you to make an eternal commitment. Can you do that tonight? Can you do that tonight? Can you leave here with a blessing from the Father to receive something great in return? You may not get it here, but guess what? It starts here. It starts here. So this evening, I don't know if we'll play once more. I got it right, Eileen? Is it Eileen? I got it right. I got it right. Would you believe I have a terrible memory? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Eileen, night after night, committed to coming out, blessing us with music and song. Brothers and sisters, it ain't easy serving God. Am I right? It's not easy serving God. Am I right, Pastor? It's not, it's easier for me? Oh, because I dress nice? Oh, it's not easy. It's not easy. No one said it would be easy. But I would like to think for us individuals who have been let down with so many promises and commitments, but yet we see a promise that God has fulfilled through generations and generations, and he wants to establish it in this generation. He's asking someone to step up. God is not just looking for children to put in his kingdom. So whatever you're doing, and God is in it, brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, you're wasting your time. You will find no fulfillment. You will find no joy. You will find no joy. You don't want to be an individual that has to work 20 years, 30 years, make all this money in the world. You love it. You enjoy it. You're retired. Then you're home at home. Because you had no sense of purpose. You never took time to allow God to bless you in order that you could be a blessing to someone else. God's caught up committing to this, allowing other things to absorb your time. God is saying, come, let me use you. Let me shape you, mold you. Let me fulfill my promise through you. And then guess what? How do you think the Bible talks about us ambassadors for Christ? God is not going to ask you and me to be his mouthpiece until he makes you the living miracle. God wants to make you the living miracle. So of course he's going to bless you, don't doubt it, because you are his greatest mouthpiece. That's what God wants to do. And he's going to do it, brothers and sisters, again. He's going to do it again. So, in closing, I want to make a final appeal. This appeal of those individuals that have decided that they want to leave here with a powerful blessing and enjoyment. You see, you don't want to remain committed to Christ. The thing about that you can't make with the Holy Spirit. Because when you expect it, at least the Holy Spirit is going to get up. It's going to use you. Like I said this morning, when I was there laughing on the views, the Holy Spirit came in when I least expected. And before you know it, I was a mouthpiece and I was testifying. This week or two with a blessing, a benediction that's so powerful that when you leave here, you feel the Holy Spirit. When you wake up in the morning, you have no trouble wanting to spend time with Jesus Christ. You won't even see the change happen. It'll be a natural process, but you have to believe. You have to decide. So this evening,
if you want to come forward, you want to say, I want to commit to Jesus Christ, and I want a special blessing, a special anointing and benediction, in order that God may shadow me and I may shadow him for the remainder days of my life. If that is your desire, will you come? Will you come? Will you come? Will you come? This call is for everybody. Jews and Gentile alike, Adventists, non-Adventists alike, Christian, non-Christian alike. You want a blessing. You want to leave here with the power of God's anointing on your life. Come forward. Come forward. Come forward. Come forward. Because I'll tell you something. You know, what I want to say to you folks, what I want to say to you, is that the preacher needs an anointing too. Maybe Pastor Viel has heard this saying before in the seminary, but you know, when you're surrounded by a lot of seminarians, you start to question Christianity. And then you start to sense some form of commonality. The more you listen to other theologians and scholars and pastors' story and shepherds' story, we all begin to realize we all share commonality. God chose us not because we're the best mouthpiece, you know. God didn't choose us because he believes that we would profess his name better than the other. God chose us because this was the only way to save my life. This profession, this calling, this was my means of salvation. I needed more than anointing. I needed to stay in it. So night after night, coming out here during the week, and every time I give God's word, let me tell you something. One of the things I dislike the most is when I see that God has used me to be a blessing to others, but I leave feeling empty too. So every time I come before the Lord, I come before the Lord just like you, like a sinner, because I too need an anointing. So that is the anointing, brothers and sisters. We can't get enough of it. This evening, I want to ask that we can come together in a circle. Those that have come forward, if you want to come and join, don't be afraid. We're not going to end any sooner, and we're not going to end any later if you choose to join us. But we want to come in a circle, and I want to ask for three prayers from Pastor Viel and Pastor Gomez, if that's possible. And then I will close in prayer. And it is my desire that you will leave here feeling renewed because of the blood of Jesus Christ. That you will feel the presence of the Father with you and the power of the Holy Spirit for the remainder days of your life.
Loving Father, we want to give you thanks for the breath of life. We want to give you thanks for this week of revival that we had here at Joy of Troy. We ask you that you continue bless us, that you continue forgive us. We give you thanks for the new covenant, the new birth that reminds us there is power in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
There is hope for the hopeless. There is strength for the weak.
Yes.
And what can wash our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Yes.
We ask you to continue to bless us as pastors, as ministers of your word, for we are not worthy. We ask you to continue to bless the pastors' families in a very special way, that you continue to bless them, that you continue to watch over the family and their children. We ask you tonight that you continue to be with our senior pastor in a very special way, Pastor Gomez. We give you thanks for the families in the church.
Yes.
We give you thanks for the children ministry that had taken place during the covenant week. We give you thanks for the group that have been singing daily, night after night. We give you thanks for the visitors among us tonight. We ask you, Lord, that you continue to bless us, be with all of us, and let their lives never be the same again.
Yes.
Please, let us not come as we had come earlier, but fill our cup.
Yes.
For we are thirsty for that living water. Tonight we ask you, let the light of Jesus make his face to shine upon us. Keep thee, Lord, and keep us safe, Lord, under your divine protection. We want to lay in your hands the countries around the world that has been hit by Matthew's hurricane. We ask you to be with those grieving family, the bereaved family, in a very special way. Be with the community of Joy of Troy tonight, and that they will know that Joy of Troy is the best place kept in secret in Troy. Amen. We ask you tonight that you send us your mercy tonight, that your goodness, and you will continue to bless us, Lord. We're not deserve of all your blessing, but we ask you that you keep blessing us, keep making a way till you come. In the name of Jesus we pray, our Savior, Redeemer, and coming back in, when you ask that you contribute the next prayers as a lift up to your throne of grace. Amen.
Amen.
Father, once again, we just want to say thank you for your kindness and for your mercy. Lord, here we are standing, your brothers, as brothers and sisters, your sons and daughters, Lord. We're here before you because we understand, we recognize, we acknowledge in our lives the need of you. Amen. Father, you know exactly what's going on in our hearts and in our minds. Amen. You know the struggles that we had, Lord. The things that we face daily, Lord. You know the pain, the suffering, the decisions that need to be made, Lord. You know everything about us. You also know the desire that we have to follow you, to know you better. You also know the obstacles that we have, Lord, and the things in front of us that just prevent us to come closer to you, Lord. We thank you because you keep calling us. We thank you, Lord, because you are such a patient God with us, and you're still waiting for us, Lord. Tonight we're here and we acknowledge and we recognize the need of you. Help us, Father, to come closer to you. Help us to listen to the voice who is calling you, calling us right now. Help us, Father, to just go and take that step, be able to understand more about you. We are here, Lord, and we are here not because we're perfect, Not because we are clean, not because we are better. We are here, Lord, because you are good. And you are wonderful. And you keep your love and mercy in us. We thank you, Father, because that's the only thing that we can say. That is the best word that we can come up with. We need to say thank you, because we don't deserve your mercy. So we say thank you. We don't deserve your protection. So we just say thank you. Thank you, Lord, because we are saved by grace. And we don't deserve that. So tonight we just want to say thank you. Because you keep showing your love to us, even when we don't deserve it. Thank you, Father, for keep that promises, for keep that covenant that you will be here for us, that you're going to be with us every single day unto the end of this world, Lord. Help us to recognize that. Help us to understand the need that we have of you in everything that we do in our lives, Lord. Thank you, Father, for this week. We felt your presence every night. We definitely felt your presence tonight. So we ask, Lord, that that presence continue with us. Stay with us, Lord. Stay with our hearts. Stay in our minds. As we go back home, Lord, just be with us. And when we go back and think about this week, let us remember that your presence, we felt your presence in this place. We thank you for your mercy and kindness once again. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Heavenly Father, just say, you are deserving of the praise. We ask, dear God, that as we leave this place, that we leave here with our minds, hearts, and souls reflecting on your promise. Thank you for this day of salvation. Thank you for sending your only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Another promise. Heavenly Father, without your Holy Spirit, we can't do it. We won't do it. We won't even think to try. So we need that power to incline us to draw closer to you. We need that power to incline us to commit to you. We need that power to rebuke and reproof anything that wants to stand in between of you and me, us and you. Oh, Heavenly Father, we ask in this time that your countenance, your image, that promise you left with us can be reflected upon our hearts. Let your words bring life in our lives. Let it be transformational, ever changing. But Heavenly Father, take your people, use them, lift them up, position them, enrich their lineage, their heritage, their inheritance, and demonstrate that through them, that children of the Most High can be set up in your heavenly kingdom. Oh, Heavenly Father, we're rich, we're wealthy, because guess what? My daddy is a king. And with that, we can leave here singing, happy all day long. So, Heavenly Father, we leave here knowing that you are with us. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the week that we had to learn more about you. And as we leave here, let us leave here with the presence of the Lord. This is our prayer in Christ Jesus, who died for us. Let all God's people say, amen. 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 Have a wonderful week, and God bless. God bless you.
Gracious unto you, and be gracious.